The reason why too many of us live a good life, but not the life of full potential, is because we are not truly living and reminding ourselves every single day and maybe a few times a day, what do I really want? Why am I truly alive? And the singular answer to that should be, my soul has a tremendous amount of light to reveal, and my entire life, my entire purpose needs to be focused on that.
Welcome to Spiritually Hungry.
Yay, it's finally back to me and you. I like that.
I know, I missed our alone intimate time. Just the two of us.
Keep going.
We can make it if we try.
Keep going.
The two of us and the rest of the world. So today we're going to talk about things you really, really want. Our desires are our greatest gift.
I just popped into my mind the Spice Girls song. Not sure why.
Tell me what you want, what you really want. I wanna.
Yeah, you know it better than I do.
I don't know the rest of the words. So our desires are our greatest gift, and our values fuel those desires. And I think that I remember when I came across this years ago in the teachings of Kabbalah, the idea of desire. I think that it's something we take for granted because it's something we always have. We always desire something. We desire to eat something.
Hopefully, right? Unfortunately, there are people who reach a point where they don't have
right.
This.
But that's what I'm saying. We often don't consider our desires as a concept or a thought even, because it's something that's so innate until maybe one day it's not. So that's why I'm excited to talk about it. And then the angle that I would like to take, and I don't know if you see this way, but how our values fuel the desires and what our values are. So I'm going to unpack that. So I see them as interconnected forces. What are you smiling at?
No. I actually gave a lecture about this.
But I also gave a lecture about values the week before at International Women's Day.
That's interesting.
And you didn't hear it. So yes. I'm going to talk about some of that.
What I was going to say is
and
that...
And steal your idea, Michael.
What I was going to say is that spiritually, and to your point, where unfortunately we don't often think about desire, or more important, maybe even more important than thinking about desire, is taking the time to fix our desire.
To make sure it's something that is coming from the right place and that will ultimately serve us.
To be clear, desire is life. It's not a feature of life. It actually is. We call it in spiritual terms the vessel. So nothing will ever be achieved without desire, neither positive nor negative.
And you want to make sure your desires...
dependent on... level of desire is what life is going to look like, which is one of my favorite teachings, which is a little bit deep, but I think it's
you're going straight into the deep end here.
No, this is just, I think it's as an opening for our listeners to really think about their own desire. And that is that there's nothing that we ever pray for that we truly desire that does not manifest. If something we pray for doesn't manifest, it's an indication that our desire wasn't as deep and true as we thought it was.
So it wasn't strong enough. Are you saying more than that,
No, strong enough is deep and true, right? So, desire of our soul, right? So I'm sure there's people say, oh, I would love to, eat 10 steaks, right? I mean.
It's a little excessive, Michael.
It is excessive. And the point is, it's not a true desire of their soul, right? So will it manifest? Not necessarily, right? So the point is, I think there's two elements to the statement, and I really think it's worth thinking about. It has to be a true and deep desire of our soul. And those are two important elements. It has to be true and deep desire, and second, it has to be of our soul.
It has to come from that place.
Right. But I think the simple and beautiful, powerful statement is the fact that if something is truly a desire, a true desire, and it's coming from your soul, it will, and you ask for it, it will definitely manifest.
Right, and I want to unpack that in a little bit because that's really a powerful statement, and I think one that would be, at first glance, hard to kind of believe, right? I think that the blockage can be that many people are not in touch with what their soul's desires are because they're so used to feeding their baser instinct of like, I want this, I need this. And if I want that, I should have it. And not really questioning, well, why do I want it? What is the purpose of my desire? Is it only for me alone, or is it going to influence or help other people? Is it something that's rooted in something that is long lasting and everlasting that will stand the time even when I'm no longer here in the physical body, right? That's the kind of desire we're talking about.
And to be clear, there's nothing wrong with base desires,
No, we need to have those too.
It's in the proper hierarchy. Right? I think that was the point that you started with as well.
Correct. So as I was saying before, so our values and our desires are interconnected. They both influence our thoughts and our actions, but they're not really the same thing. So the way I see it, values are the principles or qualities that you consider important and worthwhile. For example, if your values might include honesty, kindness, creativity, adventure. Values tend to be more stable and long-lasting, while our desires are our wants, our wishes, our cravings, and those shift over time, right? Because depending on where you are, right, in terms of even your relationship to self, how connected you are, spiritually speaking, to how you want to express yourself in this world, your desires are going to change all the time. And we need to be aware of what's influencing our desires at any given moment. So for instance, let's just go back to values. They inform our desires. So if you, for instance, value honesty, you might desire to have truthful interactions. You might choose a friend group that also values that same level of honesty. If you value creativity, you might pursue things that allow you to present that, right? Express that. So I think it's a good way to kind of check ourselves, because most people, if you say, okay, what are your values? You will do that spiritual list. I'm kind, I'm this, I'm that, the other thing. But then I beg the question of, well, how do you spend your days? If you truly value being kind, for instance, how much of your day is spent being kind? Most people, if I ask any of our listeners today, how did you spend this day? Or most days in any given week? What are the things that you pursue? You put time and energy to, and are those actions really your values? And very often they will not align.
Right. So I think it's a very important point, and maybe an important exercise for our listeners, right? To really make a list of what it is that you value in life, and then make a list of
your habits
or what you're actually doing, and see if they are misaligned. Because clearly, and I think many people live that thought of their values, but that they don't necessarily manifest.
Their actions are very separate
in their daily
from that.
Life and where they're investing their effort.
Right. And then the more you invest your effort and your time into one thing, then your desires are connected to that. You want more of that, more of that. And it's not necessarily really what you ultimately want if you actually took the time to say, wait a second, why am I chasing this? Why is it that I want it?
Right.
And then to your bigger point, that if you have a true desire, it will come true. I think that answers, well, so many people, I wanted this and I wanted that and I spent time and energy on that, but then where's the misalignment?
Right.
So we've talked about values. When we talk about desire, what does that really mean? I think often we make it out, either it's completely ego connected, like I really want this, or if you're really spiritual, I desire what the creator wants to give me, whatever blessings will come to me, right? It's almost like there's no, it's either a lot of ownership, but in the realm of just desire for self, and then, or the other part that's very connected to something bigger. And I think we don't realize that we need to really kind of analyze and direct and take charge of what we want.
Right. And I would take it, and again, this might sound overly spiritual, but I think it's never. You know, one of the things that hopefully all of our listeners heard our previous podcast with Dr. Ellen Langer, and I know we got many emails and many comments how inspiring it was. And for me,
and also how chatty she is.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed.
Yes. And one of what I thought was one of my favorite quotes from her book is, as
the mindful body.
The mindful body is the great distance between what our potential is and the way most of us live our lives. And that, in everything that I do, and that's probably for me one of the most important thoughts, teachings to give over, right? So to raise the question, right? Why is it? The Mindful Body is one of many books that talks about our potential. And more importantly, the great distance between the life that we're currently living and the potential that we have. And the question, of course, is why is it?
And by the way, in terms of potential, it's body, mind, and spirit, right? It's the potential of our body and how long it can last and where it can take us, of how much we can expand our consciousness of how our brains can stay over time. So it's in all those areas. I think we tend to think in a limited way.
Right. And what we can create and what we can do, right? It's whatever. And again, hopefully all of us are living successful, thriving lives, but take as an axiom, as a given, that what you can be doing with your life is exponentially great, right? So then the question becomes, hopefully, why is it? Why is it that even after reading the 10 best books you've ever read, right? And you hear that message over and over and over again, we still wind up living lives that do not match up to our potential. Yeah.
So I think that's a really powerful point. I think it's two things, right? I think one, we are reactive to whatever's right in front of us, and that tends to misguide us. And the other is, I think most of us spend a lot of time consumed by doubt and fear, which then makes us kind of stop. And there's no really desire. I mean, there might be, but there's no impetus to move forward because you're not really sure of what's the best thing for you or where do you go?
I'll agree to those two, but I would posit that the biggest reason why most of us, most of the world, does not live their potential is a spiritual reason, and this is it. If I asked our listeners one by one, what is your biggest desire today? Or even, what is your biggest desire in life? I think many of us would have a long list. I want to do this. I want to accomplish that. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good business person, right? So you can.
I think that first question, what's your desire, your biggest desire today? That's an interesting exercise for most people.
Yeah.
Some would have really big ones like make, you know, $1 million or whatever stock market. Another would have small desire and be like, I just want to have a really good steak for dinner.
And I would say that both of those answers are incomplete. Because, and this may be, to my mind, the most important message, hopefully we can share with our listeners on this podcast today. Your soul, my soul, came into this world not to live for itself selfishly, but to do something, and to what you were speaking about before, that is eternal, that changes the world. Changes the world could be changing the world of one person, five people. Which therefore means, why am I alive? The right way to think about it, or the spiritual way to think about it, is the only real reason I'm alive. It's not because I'm going to have a steak tonight, I'm going to really enjoy it. I'm going to spend time with friends, I'm really going to enjoy it. And all that's great. But that's not the core. That's not the essence. That's not why I'm alive.
That's an aspect of life.
Many aspects, important aspects. The reason my soul came into this world is because it has a lot of, we call it light, but a lot of energy to reveal in ways that are for the benefit of others, in ways that are eternal. And I want to live my life in the pursuit of manifesting that greatness. Yes, it might manifest in creating a great family. It might manifest in creating a great business. It might manifest in helping 1,000 people. But all that is secondary to what is the singular driver. And I think most of us, and I'm really asking our listeners, to really try to both ask yourself this question, but more importantly, keep it as a constant, truly a constant mantra, as a constant real goal. When you wake up in the morning, the first thought should not be, what do I want to do today? Meaning, I have to have this meeting, I have to pick up my kids from school,
exercise.
I want to exercise, all important good things. Really, and you know, this isn't easy to maintain this consciousness. I know that my soul has great light to reveal. And I want to make sure that today I do everything that I can to reveal that light. And it might be my hour that I do the homework with my kid. It might be the 2 hours I spend with my spouse. It might be the 8 hours I spend at work. All of that for the purpose of revealing that great light. And I believe strongly.
Wait, so the thing is, most people don't know what the potential of their soul is.
Oh.
So they get stuck on that. Could you define it by asking yourself, what is the one action that I will do today or this week or this year that will help the most amount of people?
I don't know if I would go into that level of, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, I'm not sure what my point is. I do think sometimes we have to have grand thoughts, not granular thoughts. So yes, you can then start. I think that it's.
No, but I think it's, I hear you, but give me an example then. So somebody who.
No, I think it has to be true. Like, I don't know that it's true for many of our listeners to say right now, stop everything in life. What do you want out of life? I don't think most people will say, I just, my number one priority far beyond any other is to do what my soul came into this world, to reveal that light. And again.
But people don't know what that is.
I know, but forget, we can talk about how do you figure that out.
But I think it's important, why I'm saying that and challenging you is because if a person feels like they can't come to that answer or that understanding, then of course they're going to spend time chasing other things because that's something that they can see and taste.
No, I think it's another way around. I think the reason why people can't figure out on a daily basis and in their life what are the things to pursue
is because they're chasing the other things.
Is because they're not because this is not their guiding light. This is not their guiding light.
So you're saying simply, if you wake up every morning and you say,
To yourself.
Yes, you say it out loud to the creator and to yourself. I want to pursue, achieve whatever my soul came to this world to do. That's enough.
That's the beginning. But without that beginning, everything else would be mediocre. That is not everything, of course. It's not enough. You then have to think and do and work and push and all of that. But if the seed, you know, it's like, this is one of the fundamental spiritual teachings. If the seed is wrong, nothing else matters, right? So if you want to grow an apple tree, right? And you take a seed of a banana, right? You put that in the ground and you can do everything else right. You're not going to wind up with an apple tree, right? So once you do get the apple seed, of course, you have to water it. You have to make sure the ground is right. You have to prune it. Of course, there's a tremendous amount of work that then happens. But if the seed is wrong, nothing else is going to come out right. And I think the reason this is so, I'm so passionate about this and this is so important is because we're all living so far below our potential. And what I'm saying is, yes, this isn't the answer to everything, but it's the beginning of everything.
So you say, well, as I said, but this the same thing, that if that's your value, if that's what you value, each day you wake up and you say that out loud, I want to achieve, manifest what my soul came to this world to do, that value will then dictate
everything else.
Your desires, what comes to you, what you manifest.
Of course.
Well, it's interesting because also I think like if you have that in the forefront of your mind, then, and you gave this example, like if somebody, and actually I'd love for you to share that story about the airport, but if somebody upsets you, I had a really chuckle when I heard it. If somebody upsets you, right, which happens daily, especially, I don't know, in New York City, everybody's very, you know, very free to vocally, you know, express themselves. Then you stop and you kind of just laugh because you cannot take it seriously.
Exactly. So this is an important point. I really wonder, and I'd love our listeners to email us about where they assess themselves to be on the scale of clarity of purpose. And for me, purpose is this simple thought, if it's true, which is again, that I want to live my life and the only reason I'm alive, real reason I'm alive, is because I know that my soul came to reveal great light in this world. And everything else flows from that. And that's the only thing that really, everything else is very secondary to that. One of the ways to test if it's true is, we all know in life when you have a purpose and something minor enters the equation, you will swat it away quickly because you have your clarity of purpose. So let's say you have a very important meeting that you're going to, right? And somebody stops you on the street and he wants to talk to you. You say, I'm sorry, I can't. I have in 5 minutes, I have to be in this really important meeting. So nothing's going to distract you. When you have a true purpose, so when purpose is clear, we all know this, right? When you have to pick up your kids, I'm always, you know, very mindful to be on time when I have to pick up the kids. So let's say pickup is at 3 o'clock, and you have to leave the house at, you know, whatever, half hour.
You're also
before
mindful
that.
When I'm picking up the
exactly,
kids.
Exactly,
you're tracking. Me,
I am tracking.
Actually, what I avenue I'm on?
Absolutely.
I think that's a little stalkish. Going on, is that a word? I don't know. It should be one, but that's what you're doing.
I'm a big believer of being on time to pick up your kids.
Being stalked by my husband.
Yes. But my point is that if you're going to do something important, you're not going to be distracted. So again, no matter what any of us is trying to do or anything else you have to do, your one goal is going to drive you. So with that in mind, when you think about assessing whether you're truly living a life that is directed by this one thought, the question is what distracts you? What upsets you, right? So I use the story. So last week, I was in Tel Aviv. I was flying out to Vienna. And I came to the airport and I come to the security line. It is extremely, extremely long. And I'm walking maybe 20 minutes, you know, in this meandering security line. And then suddenly I see that there's another line to the right that is roped off, but that like, instead of this line was going to take me about an hour, this line takes 3 minutes.
There was no signage.
There was no signage, but it was roped off, right? So, you know,
I would have been under that rope in 3 seconds. Exactly. I don't know what took you so long.
I'm standing, I'm a rule follower.
And I'm not. I'm a rule follower. I don't like arbitrary rules. But then I see Dr. Langer's, she agreed with me last week that, and they're all arbitrary.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I see one person sneak under the line, another one. And by the fifth or the 10th person, I'm like, okay.
That was your mistake. You waited too long.
Okay. I sneak under the rope. The second I sneak under the rope, this guy, official guy with the tag, comes over and says, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" I says, "Well, a whole bunch of people went in before me." And he says to me, "Nobody went in before you. I've been standing here the whole time. You're the first person to sneak under the rope."
I only had eyes for you.
And I was like, "That's not true, but okay." And he forced me, of course, to go back into the line. I go for another, 20 minutes, half hour. And then as I loop around again, I see that he's letting people from my long line ahead of me to start going to the shorter line.
So it's just personal.
And one person, one person, one person, one person, one person. And then finally he sees me, says, "No, you go back onto the long line." Long story short, I spent him an hour and a half through security. And so, but as this was happening, my first thought was, oh, this is upsetting, disappointing, whatever. And then the second thought was, no, but why am I alive? What's my goal? And what's
only
my,
you would go from
but,
this story but to I, why am I alive?
But I think, that's the point. The point is, if you really direct your life to be in the pursuit of revealing your soul's potential, there are less and less things that upset you, and there are less and less things that distract you. And I think, again, to go back to the point, which I think is so important, the reason why too many of us live a good life, but not the life of full potential, is because we are not truly living and reminding ourselves every single day and maybe a few times a day, what do I really want? Why am I truly alive? And the singular answer to that should be, my soul has a tremendous amount of light to reveal, and my entire life, my entire purpose needs to be focused on that. And I want every single day that I live to be in pursuit and in manifesting that great potential. And then everything else, yes, all the thoughts we have to have and all the other books that we read can start getting us there.
That's the core value. And when you value that, then you look for ways to manifest that. So you don't even need that list up front of your goals and what you want to manifest. Rather, you say that every day and then you will be given opportunities and that clarity comes. I mean, I never had a plan for life. Like, I never said, I want to be this, or I knew I wanted to help people always. From when I was a kid, and I thought maybe I'd be a psychologist. I thought, I didn't understand, I didn't know Kabbalah yet. I didn't know how I would be that vehicle, but I always knew, right? But then when I started to ask this question, when I did start studying, suddenly I learned things, I did things I never even could have thought that I could do, and continue to ask that question, right?
Absolutely. And which leads to a very important point, that another way to both know, and I would say the right way to live, is to live an open life, right? So many of us have a decision. I need to do this. I need to be
at this time in this way.
Yeah, and also like I need to be this, or I need to be, you know, I need to do this. And I, of course, we both pursue goals, but we're very open to the fact that tomorrow might be completely different, and that's great, because my goal is not to do X, Y, or Z. It's to manifest the potential of my soul. And if tomorrow, for whatever reason, the universe is telling
me it's change. Something,
but is it tomorrow? Is it next year? We talk about this often. I don't want to be the same. We don't want to be the same person, nor doing the same things in the same way tomorrow, next month, next year, 10 years from now. Why? Because again, you don't live a life by saying, these are the things I want to do, or these are the things I want to achieve. I want to reveal the potential of my soul. Right now, life The universe, the creator is showing me that it's in this direction. If tomorrow I suddenly realize it's in that direction, perfect. You live a much more open life. And if I can share, so we, what part of the spiritual practice is you go to different sites, different places that have spiritual openings and can give you inspiration.
Because either amazing people lived there, did amazing things there, something powerful occurred in that
and you place. You also go to, for instance, places where great souls lived.
Very elevated souls.
Bodies are buried. One of the places that is very inspiring for me, that I always feel a tremendous amount of light, is Rav Ashlag, who passed away in 1954. He's buried in Jerusalem, outside, in the outskirts of Jerusalem. So this past, again, that 2 weeks ago, I was in Israel, and I went to visit him. And I remember having this thought as I'm entering his tomb, that I want to be surprised by how I exit, meaning I want to be surprised by the person I am going to be when I exit. I think, and again, I hope I'm... What?
And were you?
I was. And I think that when you live the life with the true purpose of which we're speaking, then you're actually excited for revelation of the new you, and you're open to it. I think too many, because we're not living with that clarity of purpose, we're rigid about who we are, how we're perceived, what we're doing.
We take it too seriously.
Exactly.
Because we think that's all we are. That's the best, wherever we find ourselves in that moment.
Exactly. But I think an added benefit, or maybe an added level of thought that you really, consciousness that you have, if you truly are living a life that's directing you to your purpose, is that you're really open. You're open for things to change. You're really open. And this, you know, if you're not open, you're not going to see. If you're not open, you're not going to experience. So it's really important that we open ourselves up. So on the one hand, yes, it's important to have this desire to live your soul's potential. And the corollary to that is to say, and I'm open to where that takes me, to the type of person I need to become. And then the universe will help you. If you're not open to that, the universe will.
Right? I think that's how you continue to make sure you are doing this, right?
Absolutely.
Is you keep checking in with yourself and say, okay, you know, how am I different today or this week than last week or year to year, right? It's to give yourself that feedback.
Absolutely. But I do think it's a really important point, is that the creator or the universe is giving you messages all the time, direction all the time. But if you're not really open, and by open, it means that you're not stuck on who you are, what you're doing, how you're doing, but you're really open, then you'll actually hear it. So to answer the original question, why are we not living our potential? One, as we said, because we're not really focused in the right way. Our uppermost priority is not the right one. And second to that is the fact that we're not open. We're not open. We're rigid about who we are and what we need to do. And therefore, we're not open to the universe. And then there's no way we'll fulfill our potential if we're not open in that way and hearing the messages that are coming to us.
I think the one step before those two is that we just live a life of our habits. And
for
we
sure.
wake up every day and go through the routine. And we
for
never
sure.
stop to realize that we are meant to direct our desires.
Absolutely.
Based on everything we just
I have a lot that I'd like to share. I would propose, Monica, if you agree, that we continue next week the episode on desire, which I think, because it's so fundamental and important.
I'm not sure. Think about that.
Okay.
Let's give it some more thought.
Yes. Because like I said, it is the most important thought and driver of a life, either continuing to be good but mediocre, not living our potential, and being able to manifest our potential.
Well, in case we do pick up on desires next week, then I think for our listeners, a good exercise for this week is to ask yourself, what is it you desire and where is it coming from? Start there. And then as an exercise for one whole week, wake up every morning and ask the question out loud to the creator, to yourself, what am I meant to do? What is my greatest potential and how can I manifest
it? I would say, and also I would wake up every morning and literally say out loud to yourself and to the creator, I want this day to be only directed by the purpose of my soul. And that's my uppermost desire.
Mm-hmm.
Monica's taking notes. So I hope we have the opportunity next week to continue this very important discussion. So this is, I'd like to share an email from one of our listeners. Dear Monica and Michael, I love the Harvard doctor you interviewed, Dr. Alan Langer, on your podcast.
Alan.
It was packed full of wisdom and delivered in such a fun package. Thank you for that. Regarding mathematics, And Dr. Ellen talked about clouds, 1 + 1 = 1. 1 drop of water + 1 drop of water = 2 drops of water. But when those 2 drops of water are finally added together, they will now equal 1 drop combined to form that one in wholeness, which is, I think, what Dr. Langer was saying. It doesn't become 2 separate drops of water when they are added together. It becomes 1 when they are combined. If they are 2 of similar things, it just gets bigger than it was before. It's not separate. Therefore, 1 + 1 = 1, not 2. 1 + 1 = a bigger 1, which I think is an important addition.
I think we should share this with Dr. Langer.
Yes. That's wholeness. It's not taught by anyone that doesn't understand what wholeness is. And I think this is, it's a very important point, because the, one of the reasons why we remain small, and also related to everything we spoke about on today's episode, is because we see ourselves as separate. And understanding that when we add ourselves or bring awaken unity with other people, or allow other people into to influence us and into our lives, we're not 2 people now, we're actually 1 greater whole. Mm-hmm. And I think, and again, part of what we'll hopefully share next week has to do with that. But, well, thank you, Brandy, for sharing with us. This is a good time to remind our listeners to keep sending your emails, letters, comments, inspirations to Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Monica and Michael at spirituallyhungry.life. Also a reminder to share this episode, this podcast, with everybody you know, and to go to Apple Podcasts, give 5-star reviews. And we hope that you enjoyed listening to this podcast as much as we enjoyed recording it.
Stay spiritually hungry.